Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Sessions, and welcome back to week three of what I hope has been a really great conversation about women and sisterhood and a whole lot of things, actually, that are relevant to our walk as Christians, especially as Christian women who desire always to make a positive impact on the world. So, as you know, we have been joined by our musical guest, Christina Reynolds, over there at the piano, and by Juliette Mayhew, who is an author and an actress and the founder of a lifestyle brand, and she's just an all-around fabulous sister in Christ. And Zanya Schumann, my first all-around fabulous sister in Christ, who's a teacher, an evangelist. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the impact that Zanya makes on a lot of people's lives. A lot of you have been impacted by her on these sessions because I've gotten a lot of letters from people about things that Zanya has said. And then Skyping in from America, and it's probably about 4 o'clock in the morning now there, I hope the sun is even up, is Christine Sewell, who's the founder of Providence Heights, a women's organization that champions the causes of homeless women. And she's also a teacher. We're all moms, we're all wives, we're all sisters. Let's see, we're all crazy.
And a grandma.
And a grandmother.
And a grandmother, that's right. Well, thanks, Christine. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for getting up and joining us. So last week, you guys, we sort of ended on, we were back to identity, really, actually, because you know what? All things really go back to identity. Like when you know who you are and when you know who God has created you to be, you kind of have a lot more strength, I think, in how you approach things and how you impact people. But I kind of want to talk about dealing with the different spiritual stages of our lives. And I realize, like, Christina's at a certain spiritual stage as a younger married woman with younger kids. My son is just turned 26, so I guess I have some other things that are starting at this stage of my life, like hot flashes. Hello.
Never.
Never? See, you're like my mother. My mother did not believe in discussing those things, so I'm finding out all these things about women and the changes in life, and it's all, like, new to me.
I'm meaning never, because you're too young.
Well, thank you for that. But, you know, it happens in your 30s that you can get up.
I rebuke that. I have a friend in South Africa that refers to them as her personal summer moments.
Oh, yeah? Yes? Yeah. I call it, I'm starting to feel like a pizza oven, guys. From the inside out, I'm on fire. But you guys, has your relationship with the Lord been different? And does it change from season to season in your life? I can tell Juliette has something to say.
Oh, 100%.
It's a little twinkle.
100%. I mean, it changes when you get married.
Yeah.
It changes when you become a mother. It changes throughout when you deal with toddlers. Mm. When you deal, I have a tween. She's 11. Believe me, she's 11 going on 21.
You'll make it.
And I have a 9-year-old. It changes dramatically. In fact, I think if your relationship with Jesus Christ isn't evolving and changing, then you're stuck.
Well, that's good.
So I think there are moments where Christine had spoken about on another show about you have your wobbles and you have to recollaborate where your relationship is with Jesus Christ. But I also think there are times when you just get massive encouragement and spiritual downloads and you think you're high, but you go through seasons of waiting, you go through different seasons, and that is life. We can't possibly think that we're always on a high. We'd never appreciate life if we stood at the top. We have to go through lows and highs, the valley to appreciate. So I think, I don't know, I personally know definitely my Christianity has changed dramatically and also my tolerance has changed through maturity. And that maybe in a legalistic state or just the way I look at things and just maturing. Like things, you don't need to prove yourself anymore so much.
That's the nice thing about getting older.
You're like, and? Yeah. So what?
Yeah. Take me as I am.
Take me as I am.
Yeah. I feel like the first part of my Christian walk was I was born into a Christian home, but very conservative kind of religious type of church. And wonderful. I mean, I learned the word, more of the word than I see in a lot of the churches that I walk into now. And I will always love and appreciate that section of my life and that walk of my faith. But what I found was because I never had a real encounter not only with the two-dimensional pages of this book, but the Holy Spirit that brings that. That's what revelation is, isn't it? It's being able to see this as a 3D picture, and you get that when you have the Holy Spirit that brings you that depth. And it's an encounter. It really is a love encounter with the Most High God. And I find that when I do have this slip, you were talking in one of the previous episodes about having a little bit of a wobble in the beginning of the year. And for me, my security that I have, my little, is it a fail stop?
Fail safe.
That's the one.
Yes.
English is not my first slap
language. Bang, smack dab. Fail safe.
My fail safe of my faith, for me personally, is my encounter that I've had with God. Mm. Because in the first part of my life, before I really had this encounter, I went on a very wayward kind of road where I was considering New Age ideas and, yeah. Isn't it possible that if God is so loving that all roads lead to God? And, you get into all these very kind of selfish ways of trying to make the gospel better so that it suits the whole world kind of thing. And it's not the way things work. But it made me slide off of my course. And having had an encounter with God, a real encounter with God, it has given me the fail-safe. Because when I feel like I'm going in that direction, when I feel like what you've said, where you have that bit of a crisis of faith, I make myself set myself apart, and I make myself remember all the encounters where God has made a huge impact in my life that is just so supernatural. I remind myself of the supernatural side, because then it takes all of this that I've put inside of me and it makes it come alive again. Because word on its own is dead.
Yeah. And we're called to be storytellers, to recount moments where God has impacted us. And talking about that, going back to those miracle moments, transformation miracle moments, not only strengthen your faith, but actually are stories which can just everyone around you.
Yeah.
And as you were speaking, I was just laughing because Ophelia is 11 and she is obviously starting religious education at school. And we in this country, there may be Christian schools, but it's not like a born again, spirit filled Christian school. It's like they go to chapel once a week.
Right.
And at those moments, you remember how to speak in a language to a child, the language ultimately, keep it simple.
Right.
Because you're doing that with your non-Christian friends. And I really, really make it my job not to be with Christians all the time. Yeah. Because you know what? We get really Christian-y.
Yeah.
Christian-y.
Yeah.
And going back to the journey of your own faith is when you can relate to anyone at any level, in any era of society, in any faith.
Well, that's really relevant, too, to the different stages of your life. It's like part of the different stages of our life is also about being equipped for the different people at those different stages that we meet along the way. Christine, what do you think about this?
Yeah, what I was gonna share is that we all have seasons in life. And, sometimes we are in a dry place. Sometimes we are being saturated by the presence of God. And, I just remember as a young mom, just escaping to a shower was like, That was my sanctuary. That was sanity for me. And, it's hard, especially like as a young mom, when, you're sleep deprived, you don't have that time to really soak in his presence. And, and then you have other seasons where you really can encounter him in a significant way. And so, understanding that you have seasons that you transition through is critical, I think. And that those seasons will change. Those seasons will pass.
Yeah. I think I just learned why God gives you all of your great ideas in the shower. It was because you had to escape there to be still and know that he was God.
I'll assure you that you weren't allowed to say that on national TV.
I just got it. That's a little girlfriend thing.
Friends.
She told me she gets all of these great ideas and revelations from God. And she said they always happen in the shower.
Now everyone knows.
It's too noisy to happen anywhere else in the house.
It's all right, we're not going to come join you in the shower.
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Christina, what about you?
I'm just like, I can't nod enough to like express how much I agree with what Christine's saying, because I've been walking with the Lord now for 13 years. So in the beginning, God is good all the time. I'm believing him for miracles. Life is amazing. I feel the Holy Spirit all the time. I weep at the word all the time. Then you get a little bit older. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like once I hit 30, which I'm only 32, but once I hit 30, I had multiple times of crisis, the crisis of faith, because all of a sudden I got old enough to learn to think through, what is it do I believe? I don't want to just regurgitate what the pastor said anymore. And I had gone through enough hell in life to that point as well to go, it was testing out my faith. So I think of it as like I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling every day. And then there's knowing your seasons, like there's seasons where I don't hear from him. Is that my fault? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. Probably.
Maybe not.
But then just like in creativity, there's ebbs and flows in life. There's ebbs and flows in every season. And being aware of that and knowing that you're on a journey, will we ever arrive when we meet God? We're going to have all of eternity to search him out and get to know him. So if we think of it that way, I don't know. Like, yes, it's constantly changing. But the season thing and the journey thing gives me peace in the moment and go, enjoy it. Yeah. This is something new. And then quickly it'll be gone and on to the next. So
I think it's difficult for women, especially because we really are the ones who make the plan. I mean, I know all of your husbands, and it's very funny because each and every one of them would defer to what my wife says is the plan. And I know that. And my husband right along with them. And it's like, it's so funny for the world. The world looks at, women of faith as so dominated and oppressed and subjugated, whereas I'm like, they must not be looking at the women of faith. I know, because these women run their homes. And it's interesting because, like, in all the right ways, run their homes. But it's interesting because I think about, too, the different stages of my life, different seasons of my spiritual journey, and I've gotten to this place where I remember a few weeks ago, like all hell was just breaking out around us. Like, it's like, okay, the building next door is falling down. Oh, a plane just hit that one. Oh, there's a fire in the kitchen. Oh, the bathroom's flooding. Like everything at once. But I remember being aware in the midst of all this chaos, like I just was like, yeah. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh yeah, oh God, this must be you. No, you must have taught me something in that last season of stretching I'm just coming out of, because I'm not really in a panic. And you're just going to have to do this because, I don't know what to do right now and it doesn't really matter. Yeah, like all of a sudden I was really hit with the fact that the different stages of my life had grown me to a place where I had a lot more peace and a lot more of an ability to just let go and, when and if this happens, it happens. And that's a really, I know I did not have that in my 20s and my 30s.
Faith has like a muscle memory.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think it's very similar to being married as well. When you're married and in the first year, it's always the roughest when you have a fight because what's gonna happen if we have a fight? What do we do next?
Are we not perfect anymore?
Exactly.
When you decide on your honeymoon that maybe you shouldn't be married.
It said nothing about this in the vows. Why is this happening to me? But you fall down and there's 5 days of tears and phone your mother and your mother phones your grandmother to find out how to fix this. And it's all a big drama.
Exactly.
10 years down the line, 20 years down the line for me and Leon now, something 100% more horrifying could happen to our relationship. You fall down, but 10 minutes later, we back up and we're just running at the same pace we were. It's not the falling down that ever stops. And it's the same with faith. The falling down never stops, but the getting up and going is so much faster.
It's
the same with faith. You have that muscle memory where you remember, let's not do that because God has just, saved me there, done that, encountered me there, showed me his angels, done that. Oh, yes, and died on the cross for me. Okay, maybe little move back on.
I went through that one also, this year, where I decided I was going to read everything about Christians who had faith, and walked away from their faith. And as I was knee-deep in this exploration and actually finding out, like, oh, wow, then it became curiosity, like, you could really believe and then not believe anymore? And it's so funny because I, you know, I got to that, and I'm like, well, no, that'll never work for me because I know that he's real. So, okay, God, fine, I just have to accept this. And I remember I thought about something that you shared with me, Zanya, and you shared it with me in relationship to my marriage. But I do consider myself bride of Christ, and I do get, like, the parallel of us as the bride of Christ is the parallel for us in relationship to our husbands. So that's why, for anybody unmarried who's watching, we always keep pointing you back to pick a man who understands his role and his place before the Lord, because then he'll understand your role and your place before the Lord, and things work better, a lot better. But you said something to me, and it was a South African saying that translated something like, you've just eaten 7 bags of salt.
Yes. Sewe sakke sout geëet. It means eating 7 bags of salt together. You get to a place where you have done that. You've gone through all the trauma and you've gotten over it and you're still surviving.
Yes. Yeah. And that was a powerful one because I was going through something with my husband, and I'm an isolator. I think each and every one of you, because you're in leadership positions and you're the one used to giving and teaching, sometimes we tend to not know where to go to get fed and taught. So it's very difficult for me to open up. So, like, my girlfriend's like this, where I can say, okay, I'm kind of going through it. That's like critical for me. It's oxygen. And I happen to be able to say something, and you and Leon were immediately like, oh, yeah. She says this saying, which I won't even try to say in South African, but she's like, you've kind of just eaten 7 sacks of salt, and yeah, you just get over it. You come out of it, you're stronger. Every marriage goes through these moments, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, because I just really wanted to vent, and for someone who understood my marriage in terms of how important it is to me because of the Lord to get it, whereas I was trying to go to, like, other people, my mom, or who don't necessarily have the same relationship with the Lord, and it's not about going anywhere. It's just getting encouragement.
And I think it's this group thing, sorry. It's this group idea, and this is why we started these shows a few weeks back, is the idea of a group of women, not just having one person.
Company.
But having a company of women, a group, and you will have inner circle friends. They'll be your really close, and that shouldn't have more than 1 or 2 people in it. Right. Then you'll have that second tier, and they should be about, depending on what kind of personality you have and where you live, et cetera, but they should be about 15 in there. And then you have everyone else on the outskirts, and you need a group of women that contains from each of these circles, because you need advice and you need encouragement from different women and people and friends at different times. And if we stick together, we're so much better at it, aren't we?
Together we stand.
I interrupted you.
No, mm-hmm. Not at all. I think it's also good just reiterating what you're saying is that, you know, we are emotional beings, okay? So a lot of this will be led by feelings. And my husband, I remember I would literally have to download what they wore, what they smelled like, the set, the color, the costume. And he'd be like, to the point, like, to the point. Yes. And it was like, I can only process so much, but we have to go through the whole emotion.
Yes.
We have to set the scene. It's so beautiful and it smells like this one. And actually, that sometimes is our feelings. And as we mature, sometimes in our faith, we actually know the truth and we have to be obedient. Yeah. And I've been through a season. I remember there was something that had gone on in my life pre my husband. I'd been engaged and it fell through, and it was, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. But literally through that, my heart was torn out and I just didn't know what to do. And I remember I thought, in these moments, I just have to praise Jesus. Equally, I wasn't feeling much because I had my heart broken. But that healing of being obedient, saying, I may not feel like going to church or listening to the word of God or praising him, but I know what I have to act out in obedience. 3 months, boom, a revelation. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm way too good for this guy. God has got so much better someone for me. And then boom, I meet my husband who's amazing, but I think it was in the obedience, not being led by the emotion. The emotion said, cry and tell everyone how horrible he is.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And I did. It was like, no, he's a child of God. I must honor him, let go, like, get on with it. But be obedient with what God's taught me and told me to do. Just walk out with the steps of obedience.
Yeah. You know what I'd love to actually kind of as we sort of come to the end of a few weeks of these conversations, and, you know, there's a lot of women who've been watching us all around the world, right? Throughout England and Africa. And I always separate and say Africa and South Africa, because I feel like South Africa is such a unique place to me, but all over the world. And I can imagine that each of you, because you are each called to leadership in your sphere, in your cities, where you are. And I know that because I'm friends with all of you. So I guess maybe starting with you, Christine, I'd like to ask each of you, you know, Christine, if you could speak to women around the world right now, what in all of this, what would you give them? What is your passion and your heart for women in this season today?
I would say my passion is people, loving people, hearing them, knowing that they are loved by a father who has given his life for us, that they are so precious in his sight that they could begin to see the value and the treasure that they are and learn how to walk in that they could be set free from chains that have bound them.
Mm-hmm. Zanya, what would you say to women around the world watching? And you can say it in two languages if you like.
I can it in Afrikaans, but I can't. That means I'll say it in Afrikaans, but I won't. Yeah. I think it's, I'll go back to things that we've said in previous episodes over these last few weeks, and that is that we should not look to media and to the world to set up the structures in which we compose our friendship groups. I think if we redefine ourselves according to the word, life can be really exciting, and I mentioned it before as well. You know, we don't have to be Bible under the arm, all boring, talking about all the deep stuff. We can even talk about beauty tips and these crazy things, and it can still be a God thing. I think we need to redefine friendship in a God way. Little things like love covers, it doesn't expose. Mm. That in itself will stop gossiping. It puts such a layer of protection around each person in a friendship group, just to cover a person, cover each other's inequities with love like a blanket. If you find out someone's doing something wrong, instead of blowing it up and spreading it to the world, just to go and cover it with love. And that means not just stepping away and going, well, I'm not going to touch that. Go in there and make it part of your mission. If that is a God call, obviously, but, you know, spread the love, work with people, cover them in love. And I think if we can bring that trust back where I can tell you anything about myself and know that you won't turn it into a weapon, or you won't go and tell the world about it, or you wouldn't think any less of me, that I could still be me tomorrow and you'd look at me the same way. Mm-hmm. If we could get a friendship group like that, we could be influencers. Mm-hmm. In many respects, in our homes, in our communities, and in the world. And if we make it attractive in that way, people won't think, but if I start being a Christian, then I'm not going to have be able to go and have fun with my friends, because that's not true. We have lots of fun.
We have loads of fun.
Yes, we do.
We have loads of fun. Jules?
I just would love for women to be able to get to that place where they really know who they are in Christ and understand what their purpose is. And I think my role, one thing I've had great cheerleaders in my life. Yeah. And I've got like two generations. My great-grandfather was a missionary in Argentina. I've got 36 cousins who are Christian, 56 second cousins who are Christian. I mean, I've been covered with prayers for generations, and I'm thinking about legacy. I want us women to remember the legacy we're going to leave and what we're inputting to the future generation, and take a stand now to get in our lane, stand on our platform where we're at. It's non-comparison, mm-hmm. and be who God's called us to be, and cheerlead each of us on. Like, I'll cheer your toe, you cheer my finger, I'll cheer your ear. We're all a part of the body of the Christ. None of us are equally more important than the other. Our heart barometer is Jesus. So let's go to what he's called us to be.
That's good. That's good. Christina?
I completely agree with that. But something that I do want to share, that I think for, you know, 20 to 30-year-olds, especially, because I feel like that's such a time frame and an age group where we're really solidifying our identity. You know, in my 20s, I had no clue. And I was so insecure, you know? And now that I'm entering my 30s, I'm starting to get more of a grasp of my identity. And actually what that came from was pursuing and valuing, first and foremost, being a friend of God. And that sounds so catchphrasy, but what I mean by that is like friendship. Like, he's sitting here next to me, and like in friendship, I invest time. And but this, I'm not talking religion, because I was always taught religion. Read your Bible, do the Bible verse, make sure you're getting your quiet time. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about weeping with him, sharing my problems with him. When I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, like pursuing that, because I've found that when I align myself with him, the comparison, the jealousy, the envy, my self-worth, it's like nothing. It's not even a thought in my head anymore. I can go on social media and I'm so full. I'm already filled. I don't need to have 100 likes to know that I'm loved.
Right.
Because it starts there first. I would say 20 to 30 year olds, get that relationship, invest, go through hard times and cuss them out in the shower. The shower's my place too. I've been through some hard things and I would scream at him but it was in those moments that he came and he covered me and he didn't reject me. He gathered me in his arms and loved me. And it's through the highs and the lows. And Juliet, you said so beautifully, you don't know what, you can't appreciate the good in life unless you've been able to suffer. And he suffers along with you. It says suffer and count it all joy. And count it all joy when you suffer things for Christ and with Christ. And I don't know, that's what I would say. Make him your best friend because he wants to be yours, so.
Wow. Well, in closing, for anyone who's been watching, I'm speechless, so I hope at home you can receive the heart of what we've been trying to share amongst ourselves and share with all of you. And I think for myself, what I'd like to say to everybody who's joined us these last few weeks or to any woman who's watching now is really to reiterate what my girlfriends have said. Get yourself some girlfriends who are strong in the Lord, who are rooted in the faith, because whether you believe or don't believe, you want to be a better person. You want to get through the things that are coming against you in a stronger, better way. And I promise you, it's going to be the women of faith that you align yourself with that are going to be able to give you things that other women cannot give you. And on that, you can take me for that, like at my word. I know that that is true because I've gone through stages of life where I didn't have the faith that I have today, but it was always the women of God. It was their voices. It was their advice. It was the direction they gave me that helped me to understand myself in a deeper way. And eventually it helped me to just surrender to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's Lord of my life. And through him, my life has been completely transformed, and that's what he wants to do for each and every one of you. So if anything has touched you, then I just invite you into this relationship that we all have. And you might right now just close your eyes and just say the words, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to take over, and I want you to show me what it's like to have sisters in Christ. And if you want to be saved, just ask him to save you. Just save me. Save me, Lord. And it's that simple. And the rest of it is a journey. So link arms with some good sisters and take the journey. We love you. You've been a part of another session. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and couldn't be more blessed to be a part of all of your lives and each of yours. So thank you. See you next week.
And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna